Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Get in the Bin via the Everything is Black and White podcast with me, Andrew Musgrove, and
me, Sam Mulliner.
Sam Mulliner is in the lead 2-1 after last week's episode. What happened last week, Sam?
Michael Owen got in the bin at last.
And you were very happy about it, weren't you?
Over the moon in what will go down in history as a resounding victory for all of mankind. Yeah, absolutely superb. Very therapeutic. Going into last week's episode, I was very tired. I'm feeling a bit under the weather, but afterwards I had a spring in my step. It was great to get that weight off my mind, my chest. Absolutely superb. And it didn't matter what you brought to the table last week, you were never going to win.
You were very passionate about it, and you did seem like a different person afterwards. But had I known it helped you so much, I could have charged. You know, it was an hour's therapy session. I could have laid you down on the couch and asked about how you were feeling.
Yeah. Maybe we could do that with a few more Newcastle folk from the past.
Well, there is a long list, isn't there? There's a long list.
There is, but not that contains so much venom that Michael Owen brings to the table.
I did just listen back to that episode, and it did shock me just how much hatred you have for Michael Owen.
Yeah.
I mean, it is there. So if you haven't listened to it already, guys, what are you doing? Go back and listen to episode 3, because it is a good episode. But as we've just spoiled it there, Sam did win and Michael Owen did get in the bin. You guys know how it works, or you should do by now. But let me just recap. Every week, me and Sam will bring one item to the table and try and persuade the other that it deserves to get in the bin. If we can't be persuaded, we will then open it up to you guys on social media. We'll run a bit of a poll and you can cast the final vote. I went first last week, Sam, so I'm going to let you go first this week. What is your item that deserves to get in the bin?
Yeah, something a bit more sinister this week. I'm going with agents' fees, something of which isn't really relevant at the moment, as we are betwixt January and the summer. However, I think agents' fees needs a bit of revolutionary change in football. Maybe a set percentage, depending on what kind of transfer deal it is, how much money's involved, because I mean, pretty much every big team is guilty of this, how much they spent on agents' fees. Even under the days of Mike Ashley with Newcastle, they were guilty of this. They could pay an exorbitant amount of fees to an agent or an agency that they're quite pally with, and maybe use that leverage to get a player to choose their team instead of another one. For purely financial gain on the part of the agent. So it's a bit of a dark underbelly of football, and in particular transfer dealings, that I think need revolutionary change. It just doesn't sit well with me.
Interesting. I mean, it would take some mathematician to really sort out the different levels and stuff, but we'll get into that, and we'll get into how much Newcastle spent in the last year on agent fees as well, because I have got the number, and I don't know if you know it, Sam, but it's below the average spend, but we'll get onto that in a moment. Let me introduce my topic for this week, and it is FA Cup semi-finals being played at Wembley. That deserves to get in the bin. A trip to Wembley should be a one-time occasion in the season. It should be a special day. And for me, if you've just been there a month prior, I think that dilutes that special occasion.
Yeah, but you can't tell me if the impossible dream happens and we beat Manchester City at the Etihad in the quarterfinal, you won't go to Wembley for the semi?
No, I will do, and it'll be quite the spectacle. But
you've been hoisted by your own petard.
But I'll still die on the hill that the semi-finals should be at a big neutral ground somewhere else in the country, and Wembley should be saved for one day a year, or two if you're lucky enough to get to the League Cup final as well. But a semi-final at Wembley just does not work, because walking down Wembley Way, again, should be that one-time special occasion every season for a club if you get to the final. And I think it just spoils it if you were here, you know, a matter of weeks before.
Yeah, but Liverpool and Man City are there like every other day, aren't they, with their cup finals, and just they can spend 100 billion. Oh, here we are again at Wembley. I don't like your hypocrisy. I think if we were to get to Wembley in the semi-final, I think you should wear a sandwich board saying, I don't want to be here.
I'll do it, mate. I'll do it. Right, look, I will go, and hopefully Newcastle will get through at the final. But it doesn't change my viewpoint. I would much rather be enjoying the semi-final at another ground, whether it be the Millennium Stadium, whether it be Spurs' stadium, for example, or, I don't know, Hampden Park. Switch it up. Make it somewhere else, because it just spoils the final if you manage to get to it, in my view.
So, for example, let's say Man City Newcastle was in the semi-final, not the quarter-final. Yeah. What would be the benefit of taking everyone to the Spurs stadium?
Just savour that occasion for the final, the moment you walk down Wembley Way.
You're still travelling to London.
Yeah, but savour Wembley. It spoils the final. Okay, don't have it in London then. Make it, you know, like it used to be at Villa Park or Old Trafford. Okay, if in Manchester City, you wouldn't want to play at Old Trafford. I get that. But you could go to other you know, stadiums. Like, say, Hampden Park could be one. Get everyone up to Scotland for a jolly. Or go down to Wales, to the Cardiff, to the Millennium Stadium, whatever it's called these days. I just think...
Fun fact, it's the Principality, isn't it, now, I think?
I prefer
that stadium to Wembley.
Well, I'll be honest, I've never been. But Newcastle were there in the semi-final against Manchester United in 2004. Yeah. And I just think that's the way it should be every year. I think it really does spoil the occasion of a final when you've literally been there 3-4 weeks prior. But you don't seem to mind.
No, because the League Cup last year kind of whetted the appetite, really, for more days, more weekends, really, because it's not just the day, is it?
Yeah, but exactly. It was a final, and it was brilliant to be there and to experience it all. And okay, Newcastle United didn't get the win, but that day will stay with me for a long time. You know, we're seeing Newcastle United fans take over Wembley Way, the war flags and what have you. But it would be really interesting if Newcastle did get to the semi-final. What would war flags, for example, do? Like, would they... You would assume if they got the same access, they'd make an absolute spectacle of it. But then you do it again in a month's time. I just think it should be a one-time occasion of the season. And I get why they've done it. And there's a long reason of lists, a long list of reasons why the semi-finals are at Wembley, which I suppose I'll run through now before we get back to your point. So it's essentially a financial necessity, is what the... Then I think he was FA chair said at the time when it was announced it would move back to Wembley, because they spent nearly $800 million on this stadium and they basically need to make their money back. So having the finals, you know, having two finals every season doesn't work for the FA, doesn't work for Wembley. They need to get bodies through the door. They need more matches there. So that's why it goes. And they didn't make any secret about it. It was a financial necessity, is the words they used. But it didn't always used to be this way. 1991, Sam, was the first Wembley semi-final. Arsenal versus Tottenham. And then 93, 94. And then between 95 and 99, they were not at Wembley. And between 2001, 2004, they weren't at Wembley. Of course, Newcastle in the semis against Sheffield United and Tottenham. So Tottenham was at Old Trafford. Where was Sheffield United? Was that it? Old Trafford as well, potentially. But I mean, you know, that win over Spurs was made even better because Shearer belted one in at the Stratford end, you know, at Old Trafford. And it's those kind of moments which I think also lend itself to, let's get away from the semis at Wembley and let's move it out somewhere.
Yeah. To pick on your point about the FA saying it's a financial necessity, why are England playing at St James's Park then?
I don't know. Ask the guy that made the comment. But that is the reason why, when it was announced back in 2000, I think it was announced in 2004, that they would move back. And the first semi-final was 2007, 2008. And it was back in 2004 when they first announced it and said, yeah, okay, financial necessity. We need to make our money back. 90,000 stadium. You know, we'll have a semi-finals here, and that will help us regain some of the cost of the new Wembley Stadium. And for me, you know, it's money first, isn't it? And that's another reason why it should move out. You know, bring it to the north, bring it to the Midlands.
That's the reason why we should bin agent fees, isn't it? If you're going down the financial aspects of things, it's to your point about you mentioned Millennium Stadium or Principality Stadium, which again I prefer to Wembley. Fantastic. Cardiff as well, fantastic drinking town, right in the city centre as well. Geordies would have a fantastic time there. Cardiff, brilliant. But then, like, your financial aspect of things, like, and to your point with Hampden as well, you'd have to split the pot with FAW and Scottish FA, and too many hands.
That can be done, though. I think just really what it needs to be, it needs to happen to protect the, you know, the experience of a final. So, you know, you can make the calls, you can send the emails, and you could quite easily organise the FA Cup semi-final to be at Hampden Park. You could quite easily organise it to be over in Wales, you know, or even, you know, you go to the City Ground of Man City on plane, Man United on plane as well. You know, there's plenty of good stadia in England.
Did you say the City Ground?
Well, you know, the Etihad.
Why do you want to go to Nottingham Forest?
Well, you know, a decent enough ground, but I did mean the Etihad. Do you know what I meant? The point being is save the final. But I thought I would have this one quite easy, but you're not budget, are you?
I don't disagree with the premise. It's just how you do it.
What do you mean how you do it? What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I just think it needs to be, because like I want to bring up the point, on a much kind of lower level, if that's not a disrespectful term, but like our women's team are in the League Cup final. We played the semi-final at St James's Park, beating Portsmouth, fantastic. And now the final is at Luton Town's Kenilworth Road.
Yeah, that strikes me as slightly strange.
Ugh, what an anti-climax that is.
Have they given a reason for that?
No.
Interesting, okay. Because it would be interesting to know why. I mean, that's a downgrade. I mean, it's probably an upgrade, with all due respect, for hashtag United. I don't know where they played their semi at.
I think they're in the same division as Portsmouth, actually. So they're no mugs. I'll be going to the game.
No, I know. I'm just just in terms of where they played the semi. I mean, obviously,
yeah, I get that. It won't be on a grander stage as St James's Park in front of 22,000. But yeah, and the point is, if I don't know. It's a tricky one. I don't disagree with the premise, because you're quite right. Finals should be kept special. It's just a money spinner, though, isn't it?
It is. But I mean, come on. If you're telling me they get the semi final, then you're there in a month's time, a little part of you won't be like, do you know what? I wish I was coming to Wembley for the first time this season? Or will you actually be like, you know what, I don't care, it's a final?
It's a semi-final, and I'd take a weekend at Wembley, I really would.
What happens then when you get to the final? Do you not think, oh, I was only...
We go again. We do not let it slip, Andrew. We go again. We go back to Wembley. And we get the job done this time, because, and it'd probably do Newcastle a lot of good, because it was too much of a novelty when we were there last year. And we were happy with the Saturday of taking over Trafalgar Square. Oh, isn't this great? We're back in the big time. And then by the time the game come, it was almost like over before it started. I mean, yeah, granted, game was played a month later, we would have absolutely battered Manchester United. It just came at the worst time of the year. But if we were to have a semi-final, get all of that out of our system, get back to Wembley for the final, so it's more, we have a more winner's mentality. We can go there and help the team win, not just take part. Win.
Do you know what, though? I don't agree. Because I also think, having been there in such close proximity, so if you win the semi-final, you get to the final, it'll be a month's difference, something like that, between the two games. And I wonder if it also takes a little bit away from the atmosphere and from the fans as well, because you were here not too long ago.
Yeah, that's the price you pay for being successful.
Yeah, but again, I mean, yeah, for me, it just doesn't work. You know, it just doesn't work because I feel like you can feel too comfortable at Wembley.
So, okay. So if we get to the Wembley semi-final, then you're not allowed to come. And then I'll send you pictures. There's going to be me, Aaron, Kieran Kelly, Lee Ryder. We're going to get Gibbo down. Bob Moncur is going to be there. I'm going to host the Everything is Black and White event down Wembley for the semi-final at the Dolphin King Cross with the London Mags. Hello to you all. Yeah, and then we're all going to take lots of pictures and send them to you, but you have got the moral high ground because you're not going to Wembley for a semi-final.
As I said, I'll still go and I still enjoy it, but it doesn't take away from the fact that semi-final should be played in another big ground in England or Scotland, and that I will take that point to my grave because I am so passionate about it. When I watch other clubs in semi-finals, of course, I want to be there as a Newcastle United fan, but I just think, especially for a small club as well, or the underdog who then gets to the final, I just think, goodness me, wouldn't you rather just be at Wembley once rather than twice in the space of a month or 6 weeks?
No, I'd rather be there twice.
You think?
Yeah, because okay. Then it's not just a once in a lifetime, is it?
Yeah, but does that, come on, does it not deflect from the final, being there in the semi-final? No? Is it just me?
I don't know. I think it's an interesting debate, to be honest. I didn't think I'd be defending the other way so staunchly, but that's because I don't like corruption in football, whereas you clearly do, because you feel more strongly about a venue change than shady agents' fees.
It's all relative to the point you're making, isn't it? I didn't know what your point was, but yeah, I have to say, if I lose this week, I'm going to be very disappointed. I really thought I'd be able to persuade you that we should move the semi-finals to a Hampden Park, to a Villa Park, maybe to Old Trafford, even though it has fallen down.
Where's the fun in that?
What do you mean, where's the fun in that?
I mean, I pass Villa Park every time I go to work down Milton Keynes. It's boring. It's such an average stadium. There's no discernible quality about it.
I get it. It should be the carrot and stick kind of metaphor, isn't it? Like the it's Wembley. Win this game, you get to Wembley. You know, even the final, and it's a Wembley final.
Yeah, but that's what we've got now.
But it's not the same, is it? It's not the same kind of.
No, because if we get to Wembley at first, we might actually win a game.
I mean, come on, there must be one ground. I mean, one ground, if that ground's team wasn't in the semi-final face of Newcastle, that you would like to see it hosted.
I liked your point about Cardiff because, as I say, I like the Principality. I actively prefer it to Wembley, but I don't think it's a viable solution because of the financial aspect of it with the two FAs. I think Cardiff would be great. You could have a Cardiff weekend, but again, it's taking money out of England and the English FA's pockets and putting it into Wales and Welsh football.
Who cares? It should be about the fan.
Well, I think the FA will care. Why do they need to put money for TNS versus Bangor?
But I don't care about that. I care about the fan experience, and I think a semi-final over in Cardiff or a semi-final at Hampden Park would be a better experience than having a semi-final at Wembley, middle of London. I think go and enjoy a new city, go and enjoy a new stadium, a different experience, a better experience, and you've got the ultimate prize, which is a Wembley final. That's the ultimate prize, and that's why it should be, the semi-final should not be at Wembley, because it dilutes the actual prize of a Wembley final. But I can see I'm not going to persuade you.
It's not that at all. Because again, when you first said the premise, it's something that I agree with. But I just think agents' fees and this sinister undertone of football is more important.
If you guys are watching, and I'm going to let Sam now, you know, get into it and try and persuade me. If you guys are watching, though, just drop in the comments. Let me know. Are you happy with semi-finals at Wembley, or should they be elsewhere? Where would your ideal location be? And then, do you agree with Sam that his point about agent fees is more important than a stadium location? If you do, you're very wrong. But
I mean, you're putting that out there without any context of your point and without me explaining my point. So that's
well, I'm going to let you.
That's very right wing of you.
I'm going to get my lawyers onto you young man.
Didn't realize this was a podcast by Fox News.
Right, okay, what are you doing? It's like you want a legal argument off somebody that we don't want to get in a battle with.
I'd reach PLC's problem, not mine. You, I am your guest and you're failing to control me.
Right, pipe down. Not okay, pipe down. This is a very friendly and lovely podcast. Go ahead with your point.
So, agents, we know they're kind of, especially these days, they're a necessary evil, but I think this evil should be controlled. And at the moment, it's very unregulated. And there's still a dark underbelly to the football transfer world that needs to be sorted, revolutionized. And I think making a standard sort of set fee or a set percentage, I think set fee for kind of the lower spectrum of transfer dealings for your lower leagues and kind of low cost transfers, your free transfers, stuff like that, a set fee for agents for that. And then a percentage of your more meaty transfer fees for agents. So they can't be swayed by clubs that will say, right, get in his ear. We'll pay you an extra 2 or 3 million. Let's get this deal sorted. I don't think it's right. It's not always in the best interests of the player, who obviously these agents have the ear of the players. It's not happening with every deal. Of course it's not. But there's some transfer deals that are just very surprising, and it's just clear and obvious that and I'm not going to name them because I don't want a legal battle, but there's just some that it's just clearly been motivated by money, not just on the players' part but on their representatives and their agents' part as well,
in your opinion. But I have to say, this is just a topic that bores me. I think that's exactly why I'm going to win this episode, because there's too much numbers and money involved in your point. It just bores me. Agent fees is just part of football, isn't it? I mean, I've got the list here. I've got the list here. Do you know how much Newcastle spent last year?
A couple of mil.
No, actually, they didn't. So between February the 1st and January the 31st, it was £10.7 million on agent fees.
What year, sorry?
Between 2022 and 2023. So February 22 and January the 31st, 23. And they
so
spent...
That would have been... So the January 2023 would have been Gordon and Ashby, yeah?
Yeah.
And then who did we sign? We made the Target deal permanent, didn't we?
Yeah, and then
we signed Isak.
Yeah. So they spent £10.7 million, which was the 11th highest in the Premier League. Man City spent £51.5 million. They were top. Now the average was £15.9 million. Newcastle came under that quite substantially by nearly £5 million. So, I mean, do you think as Newcastle United go on and they start obviously spending more and bringing in
I don't want this to get lost as this being a Newcastle United point, because it's not. It's a wider point about football. So to go to the top of that list, Manchester City spent over £50 million on agent fees in 11 months.
Yeah.
And who did they sign during that period?
I mean, you're asking someone who has no idea. So where? When was this?
They would have signed Vardial, Alvarez.
Let me just double check, just so we've got
and a load of youngsters for their academy, which is again they've been turned.
Transfers in. So you're looking at they only spent 22. February the 1st, 22. So they signed Haaland, Ortega, Calvin Phillips, Gomez, Akanji, and a young man called Perone?
Oh, okay, so this is the year before then.
Yeah, so between...
Right, okay.
Between the 1st of Feb and 2022 and January the 31st, 2023.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was doing the summer 23 signings, wasn't I? Okay. Fair enough.
So
over 50 million for Haaland, who had a release clause in his contract. So that in that aspect between the clubs didn't need negotiating. It was just an easy deal. Well, it should have been an easy deal between his agent and Manchester City, where his dad used to play and was very popular. He was never going to sign for Leeds, was he? And a couple of others, and a load of youngsters for their academy, I imagine, who would have turned down a lot of other clubs.
You've got, I mean, the signing, actually, when you look at the summer signings in, where they're joined 21st, yeah, so the summer signings, oh no, sorry, that's wrong, my mistake, go on, yeah, but I mean, look, isn't it just the way it is? Like, it's the way in many negotiations outside of football, you know, sometimes you have to pay a little bit more to a broker, to a middleman or woman to get the deal through.
No, I don't think that should be the case. If you are an estate agent, you take a set percentage, don't you? If you're, you know, and that other kind of work, the more expensive the house, the bigger fee you get, because that's how percentages work. It's basic maths. But if you're taking away, I imagine a lot of that 50 million is taken up by kids signing for their academy between the ages of what, 15 and 19, that are choosing Man City's academy, not because they're going to get game time and have the potential to break into their first team, which is a rarity. Phil Foden, is Phil Foden the only one? Rico Lewis, in and out, isn't he? Cole Palmer couldn't do it, and he's flying at Chelsea now. You know, they're not going there for a clear pathway to the Manchester City first team. They're going there because they're paying more than everyone else. They've paid off the agent so they can have a whisper in their ear and make them sign for Manchester City. Yes, the facilities are great and you might get a good loan move here and there. It just feels dirty to me.
Okay, again, and I know I have to say this every week when Sam's on the podcast. That is Sam's theory.
It is your theory.
We don't know that that is the case. This is your opinion that you're putting forward. Obviously, we can't offer City a right to apply and all that. That might not be the case. I understand why you're suggesting it might be. Again, your opinion, we don't know the actual truth to that. But so are you saying on agent fees that, you know, there should be a set fee? If you pay £50 million for a player, then every club that pays £50 million for a player pays £1.5 million to the agent, and there's no negotiation. It is a set. It's a set fee.
Would make it that much, but yeah, I would make it. Yeah, if you're a transfer fee of that ilk, I would like, I don't know, a percentage of that. And you would have a set fee for if you know, someone's let their contract expire and whatnot, and you've got a queue of clubs trying to sign a player. The agent should get a set fee of that. Same if you were a lower league player, so as not to get out of hand for the lower leagues. Do agent fees even count towards FFP and PSR and however many acronyms we've got these days?
I'll have a quick Google, but I mean, I'm not entirely sure they do. I could be totally wrong.
Because this is another way of getting around things and convincing players to sign for you, whilst in keeping with the laws of PSR. So very interesting accounts.
It does actually, apparently, a quick little Google here. So it does play a part.
Good.
So that's...
Who is second on your list? I'm guessing it's Man United, probably.
No, it is not. It is Liverpool. No, sorry, it's Chelsea. Chelsea, 43 million. Liverpool, 33 million. I mean, you had Leeds, the highest kind of non-big club in that list. They were eighth at 15.3 million. Bottom of the list. Which is funny because I'd like to see, I can't wait for the updated list. But bottom of the list was Nottingham Forest at 4.3 million.
That needs updating.
So, this obviously the new figures will come out probably in the next couple of weeks, actually. So it'll be quite interesting to see how that's changed. And I imagine Forest have shot up that list. And I imagine Newcastle probably have as well. But yes, it does seem to count towards financial fair play. But do you know what, Sam? I just can't get on board with it. It doesn't really anger me that much. You know, it's just one of those things. Football is built on money. If you look at, I mean, you could have a go at transfer fees. I mean, who is too determined that a player was worth 100 odd million pounds? You know, and you could look at loads of things and where you just go, how on earth have we got that stage where, you know, we're talking tens of millions of pounds for somebody or for a service or what have you. And it's just one of those things. I think what someone once said to me, that top flight football is kind of built on quicksand, and at some point it will all just, and that's just the way I look at it. And I don't think that's ever going to change, the agent fees. I don't think there's ever going to be a cap on it. I think it's just the way it is.
I think comparing it to transfer fees though is very unrealistic, because if FIFA were to do something, and it would have to be FIFA, it couldn't be a localised thing, it would have to be across the board, to do something about agents' fees, that's much more realistic and viable than like capping transfer fees and that whole sort of minefield. I think that's more of a realistic change and would certainly go a long way. Because at the moment, how FFP and everything is shaping things, clubs are now being encouraged to sell their homegrown players, which I don't really see as right, because you get more profit from selling a homegrown player than you would a player you've already bought, essentially. Like, you know, we were always encouraged to, you know, support the homegrown talent. You have to have so many registered in the Premier League, Champions League, whatever, all European competitions. And I don't know, I think supporting the homegrown players and not having their heads turned by too much money too soon is a more wider problem. And I think that stems from agents. But again, that is just my opinion. It's not the opinion of Andrew or Reach PLC or The Chronicle or anyone else, you know. But I don't know. I think the whole thing is very shady and sinister. A lot more than having the time of your life at a Wembley weekend.
Yeah, but you're not going to persuade me to join you, though. For me, I think I still should win this weekend. I'm gonna now dive into my final kind of chance to persuade you that semi-finals at Wembley should get in the bin, because I'm that passionate about it. So just, you know, walking down Wembley Way with your mates or your kids or your dad or your mum or what have you, and seeing that sea of black and white, that excitement building, that nervous feeling, those butterflies in your stomach, that should be reserved for a final. No ifs, no buts. That should be reserved for a final. That arch as it comes into view, you want to see that just for the final. Get nervous, get excited for the semis, but there's a different kind of feeling for a final, and that's why semi-finals in the FA Cup should be played elsewhere. There's plenty of great stadiums up and down the country which could provide a wonderful semi-final experience for football fans. Great day out, whether it be, like I say, at Hampden Park, whether it be at the Principality Stadium over in Wales, or one of the countless great Premier League stadiums you have, in which you could go and enjoy the day and still have a real semi-final feel about it. And then you've still,
you know,
got
where
that...
the FA would stick it though, wouldn't you?
Manchester.
West Ham.
Well, it's not Wembley.
Horrible ground.
Out in London. The point being, you know, it should be protected, the final, that experience, that day, that moment should be protected. One day a year, two of you looking to get to both finals. And for me, it just dilutes the wonderful experience of a final when you've been there weeks before. And that's why I think semi-finals at Wembley should get in the bin.
Yeah, it doesn't dilute it though, does it? It's still a special feeling. It's still seeing black and white on Wembley Way isn't something that ever gets old. Just the same as seeing St James's Park on the horizon every time.
The motivation should be a Wembley final. That's what you should be playing for. And I just think when you're there watching a semi-final at Wembley, you'll be like, oh, we're back here in a month's time. And for me, being somewhere else, knowing that the pinnacle is a trip to Wembley, That's why it deserves, that's why it needs to be somewhere else other than Wembley for the semis, knowing that the ultimate prize is a final at Wembley. And for me,
if we get there, then you can go and stand outside of Tottenham Stadium for an hour and a half. You know, I'll meet you. There's a cracking little cafe around the corner from Wembley. I'll meet you there afterwards. We're done. And then I'd have had the time of my life in Wembley, seeing us get to a final and go, right, hotels are booked for the next one. Let's have it. And you could say, oh, but yeah, I saw the Golden Cock on top of the Tottenham City Stadium, you know.
Right. Are you going to persuade me that agent fees deserves to get in?
Save football. Save young footballers from the perils of money-grabbing agents, and make agents' fees realistic, consistent, standardised across the board in football, and everything, everyone, and football will be fixed broadly.
You know, I can see your point, and I agree with the point about making them standardised, that's right, and consistent. I get it, and that would be great to see, but you just don't persuade me that agent fees should get in the bin ahead of a semi-final at Wembley. I'm sorry, I'm not going to concede on this one.
Okay, I'll do your deal then. I'll do your deal.
Do I have to pay an agent fee for this deal?
No, because I don't have an agent. Because why would I need one? So if we get to a Wembley semi-final,
right,
I host the Chronicle event. You don't.
I'm not giving you that deal. I admire the audacity.
And then you can have yours get in the bin.
I'm sorry. As passionate as I feel, I cannot give up a potential hosting duty on a semi-final weekend in London.
Tickets.
We've got to get there first. I mean, this is coming out.
You should have took the deal. We're not going to beat Man City.
Why not? Let's be positive. This is coming out in the days prior to that Man City quarterfinal. Let's be optimistic. Let's be positive. Let's hope that we're actually having this debate, on the fact that Newcastle are going to get to the semi-final. I'm feeling optimistic. Let's be positive. But are we not agreeing? Is this going to be the first time it goes out to the audience?
I think so. But I think I'd lose a poll because the way you will word it, with zero context.
I would allow you to oversee the tweet that I put out to the people. So don't worry about that. I'm a man who plays it down the middle, plays it by the book. So it would be a fair post, and we will let the people decide which item deserves to get in the bin, either Wembley semi-finals or agent fees. So we will open that up to the floor. Let us know in the comments, if you're watching live on YouTube, let us know via email. You can get in touch with me.
I think we should solve it by YouTube comments, not a Twitter poll.
Okay, well, why don't we'll
or a YouTube poll? You can do a YouTube poll.
You can do well. I tell you what, we'll do both. We'll get the average and what have you. I'm going to open it up to the majority, and we'll see who comes through. I'm still confident I'm going to win this one. But hey, the first time we open it up to the floor, so. To you guys watching and listening, it is now over to you to decide who wins episode 4 of Get in the Bin, Wembley semi-finals or agent fees. Boring. But let us know. We'll open the poll once the episode goes live. Thank you very much for tuning in. Sam, thank you as always for popping on to the podcast. And look out for episode 5 next week, when hopefully it comes in the week that we are booking our hotels and train tickets for the FA Cup semi-final at Wembley, but hopefully it's a semi-final nonetheless, right?
Yeah. Am I allowed to quickly plug a charitable event?
Go on, go for it.
I am playing in, for the first time in, how old am I? 34, take away 16. Jeez, I'm playing football for the first time in 18 years at the end of this month in aid of the Alan Shearer Foundation, absolutely fantastic organisation. Newcastle Fans TV are playing a rival YouTube channel, and we are hopefully going to win. I have been roped into it. I've brought new gear, including these very fetching shin pads. For those listening and not watching, they are luminous pink. And I have a brace for my bum knee as well. If you go onto Newcastle Fans TV's Twitter, at Newcastle Fans TV, or their Facebook, or any social media, you'll find the link to donate there. If you can, and I will be forever grateful, because as a fat 34-year-old father of two, this is going to be a challenge. And you might be playing yet as well.
Well, I've offered my services up to your co-host, Johnny, but he's got a full roster at the moment. But I said I'll jump in if anyone drops out. So you know, I'm ready and I'm waiting to get the call up.
Can you bring an oxygen mask for me?
Are you going to be suffering that much? Well, that's exactly why I need to be there, because you'll last for 4 minutes, then I'll jump on and win the game with a stellar performance, right?
Probably the other way around.
You reckon? Well, every time I do play in charity games, my hamstring does tend to go. So maybe it's best that I do sit this one out. But I'm waiting for the call. So you can, you know, if Johnny needs it, he knows why.
You'll get it.
But head over to Newcastle Fans TV for all the information. And like Sam says, if you can spare a few pennies for a great cause, do leave them a donation. And from me and Sam, we will see you next week for episode 5 of Get in the Bin.